Look at John tonight, chapter number 10. Look at John chapter number 10. Are there certain segments of the Bible you just enjoy? Are there certain parts that you, oh my goodness, you have them and you, it's just kind of tough? We have sneak peekers back here. But you're observing the different classes. Your church mice? Okay. They're seeing what's going on all around the church. Is that what you're doing? Okay. And anyways, I'm not going to talk about mice tonight, but I'm going to talk about sheep. How many have ever dealt with sheep? Bill, you have? Very much? Okay. You have? Serious? Okay. It counts. I did too. Yeah. How many have ever watched a sheep get sheared? Any of you? Besides, yeah, two or three of you have? Yeah. And they come out and they're acting embarrassed. They do. They act embarrassed like they... Well, they feel naked. Okay? And from what they were, boy, they're quite a bit smaller. It's interesting. Well, we're going to talk about sheep tonight. The shepherd and the sheep. John chapter number 10. And let's read this. I'm going to read several verses here tonight. John chapter 10. I'm beginning verse number 1. And we're going to read almost all of this chapter. John chapter 10, verse 1 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other the way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." That's interesting. "This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Oh, it's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Verse 11. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, among the Jews for these sayings, and many of them said, Yeah, the devil is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him, and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep what? Hear my voice. We've seen that twice already, haven't we? And I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to be able to read this, your word. We thank you so much for it. We pray that you would cause it to just enter in our soul tonight. Oh God, give us hearing ears. For many here, it's been a long day. It's been a hard time. And for many, they're tired. But oh God, I pray that you just rejuvenate in their body, their soul. And Lord, tonight you give us something that we might use it for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, please, and be seated. If you were going tonight to say, hey, this is the theme of John chapter 10, what would you say from the verses we just read? Three or four words. What would you say? What is the theme? Somebody want to venture a guess? You won't be wrong. Just what would you say? Virginia? Jesus is a shepherd. That's a good idea for a theme. Somebody else? The theme for the verses we just read. What would be the theme there? What would we say? Virginia said, Jesus is a shepherd. Great. He's the doorway. All right. That'd be a good one. Okay. Anybody else? One of the things I have done in Bible study is after reading something, try to just boil it down into two or three words. It helps me remember. How many can remember three words, but you couldn't remember 20 words to save your soul? Okay. And I can remember just simple things, all right? And so that's one of the things that I do. I do that especially in the book of Proverbs. I think I've told you about that. But if we can get an idea of what's going on. I label it this way. I label the sheep as the shepherd and the sheep. Well, I started to say the sheep and the shepherd. It didn't go either way. But certainly this chapter is about the great shepherd, the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And though there be really three different times portrayed in these parables, all of them portray the Lord. Really, in the first five verses, it's talking about the dawn of the day as the shepherd goes out to the sheepfold. That's an area, a pen, if you please, where the sheep would be kept overnight. And there would be a porter, somebody who was put in charge of them until the shepherd could go home or go to his tent or wherever, and he could get a night's sleep. And it was a place of safety. And in the morning, nice and early, he would come to that sheepfold and he would call his sheep. There may be several shepherds who have their sheep in that sheepfold. I've never seen this. I read the account. Many of you know J. Vernon McGee. He said he was over in Israel, and he said he just happened to be at a well where they had brought the sheep. And he said it was phenomenal because here was all these sheep gathered around as they were drinking, and pretty soon he saw the shepherds kind of fan out and begin to call their sheep, and he said those sheep just kind of began to follow after their shepherd. Why? They knew his voice. Okay? And so here's the shepherd. He comes to the sheepfold. He calls his sheep, and they come forth following him out for the day. In verses 6 through 10, it's really during the day as he takes them to places where they can eat, where they can feed, and he's also protecting them. One of the great jobs of a shepherd is protection of his sheep. Sheep have no defense system. They're never going to hurt you. If they hurt you, it's by accident. You got to lay down on the ground, almost somehow make yourself so thin that they walk over the top of you, and you might get a little hoof in your belly. They're just not going to hurt you. They're very gentle animals, and they have no defense system. They are totally dependent upon their shepherd for their protection. Okay? And they become a very easy target for any kind of predator. So the job of the shepherd is to take them the food and also to protect them. And then, as we get into verse number 11, it says, I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He's talking about when he stays out in the field, out in the wild areas, on those grasslands, not in the fold, and where he must protect those sheep throughout the night. And be on alert for all of those who are prowling and seeking after his sheep. And so we find here that here's a story of a shepherd, and that shepherd is really none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? There's a twofold purpose for the sheep. What do you think sheep are good for? What's that? Their wool? Okay. How many have a wool sweater? You have a woolen sweater. Some sheep gave up its hair. They sheared that sheep. They made that out of it. Years ago, not so much anymore, a lot of clothing made out of wool. And wool can be kind of itchy, can't it? And so we Americans, we don't like using it as much. But it's a tremendous fabric. If you want something to keep you warm, you get something made out of wool. It's going to be very warm normally. Okay. What else is sheep good for? Yes. Food. Okay, very good. And what do we call sheep meat? What? Did you say something different? There might be another name, I don't know. Mutton, okay. Did you say something different? Okay. We have sheep meat. How many have had mutton? I only see two hands. Are you kidding? You've had it? Okay. Rest of you folks never had it? Have no idea what it tastes like? Once in a while in the supermarket you can find mutton, but it's not sold very often around here, but you can once in a while find it. I have had it. I don't particularly care for it. It's got a smell to it I don't care for, and it's got a taste to it I don't really care for, but many folks find it a tremendous delicacy even. But it's kind of like fish eggs. I'm not too excited about that, even though they might call it caviar. So they're good for two things, and we find that they produce those things for us. Okay. Now the shepherd, we find from our text, is really the source of joy to the sheep, because he's the one that brings them what life. He's the one that provides that for them. And I like verse number 10 when he says, "I am come that they might have what? Life, and life more abundantly." If it were not for the shepherd, the sheep would not have that. The predators would find them. The predators would kill them. They would wander away. They would get lost. They would find themselves dying probably of this, that, or the other thing within a very short time. There's really no life for a sheep that has no shepherd. Eh? But we also find that this good shepherd is one who sacrifices for the sheep. So he shows himself as joy to the sheep. He shows himself as a source of joy, but also as a sacrifice for them. And we also see some very tender moments here with these sheep and the shepherd. Notice verse number 3 and 4. Once again to the porter, he openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep and goeth before them, the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. When I was a little boy, I went to Sunday school and I rode the city bus. And I would get off the city bus, and I lived at 25th and Avenue C. And I would get off the bus on Broadway, and I would walk from Broadway to Avenue C. So that's three blocks, A, B, C, right? And about Avenue A, there was this little dog that came up behind me. And you know that little dog followed me all the way home. I don't know why that little dog followed me all the way home. I don't know why. But he did. And he got to the house and he was hungry. Dogs are always hungry, right? But I was so excited. This little dog followed me home. He liked me. He liked my presence. He enjoyed being around. Matter of fact, he stuck around for many years. And he happened to be a stray dog that nobody claimed. Maybe somebody dropped him off somewhere. I don't know what had happened. And So we ended up taking him in. And this was before I even know there was a Peanuts cartoon. I called him Snoopy, because that's what he did a whole lot of, was snoop around. And so, and my mother couldn't pronounce it just right, so after a while, Snoopy became Snooks. And that was my little dog as I was a kid growing up. And why was that? Because that was some precious things. That dog would just follow me around. And he loved to be with me. I had the privilege as a young boy as well to have, or to be a farm boy and to be around sheep. In those days, my daddy bought me a little Shetland pony. A Shetland pony is about the meanest things on four legs with a mane that you can find. And this one happened to be a stallion, and he was meaner than a junkyard dog. I mean, this horse wanted to kill me most of the time, I think. But the sheep loved that horse. And he would be in the same pasture with them, and my dad noticed something. My dad noticed that wherever that pony would go, the sheep would follow him. And as a result of that, we were going to move the sheep from one farm to another, about 3 miles, going down the old country roads from one place to the other. It was in the month of September, and my daddy said to me, "We're going to move the sheep on Tuesday, and I'm going to keep you home from school."
Yes.
And you're going to ride your pony and let the sheep follow you. I can still remember that. I got to do that twice. Of going down the country roads with those sheep following. And I learned something very valuable from that. As far as those sheep were concerned, my pony was the shepherd. And I got to be on the shepherd's back and lead all those sheep. And see them follow us down through those places. Once in a while, we'd come to a farmhouse, and there'd be a few sheep that would kind of wander off because they're prone to do that. And so my dad and a couple of the other hands, they would have to go and get them back with the rest of the group. And that's what shepherds must do in order to protect them and to take care of them. I say all that for a number of reasons. We have something very important about sheep we need to understand. You and I are called sheep. I don't look at it as a compliment, by the way. Because when you stop and think about it, in my mind, sheep are kind of dirty animals. Though God says they're a clean animal. They're a clean animal because God has declared them so, not because of their habits. If you've seen the pictures and you grew up in Sunday school and maybe your teacher would hold up a picture of this woolly white lamb, believe me, those little woolly white lambs know how to get dirty. And that wool knows how to pick up every stick and every piece of goo and clay and junk there is in the yard if it happens to get down. And that pretty white wool doesn't stay pretty white very long. And those sheep need constant protection in some way, shape, or form. And so we look at these animals, and God likens us to them. So we're going to see here, as we look at this tonight, some truth about ourselves. But there's another truth that I want us to see as well. And that is, especially from my viewpoint, as I look at the shepherd, God has called me to be a shepherd. I'm a sheep, but I'm also called to be a shepherd. And I must learn some things from the great shepherd that are very, very important. So let's look here tonight and see what we can discover. First of all, God declared, as I mentioned, that sheep are clean animals. He said back in Leviticus chapter 11, "Whatsoever parteth the hoof and is cloven hoof, footed and cheweth the cud among his beasts, that shall ye eat." He says, those are good for ye. The others I don't consider as clean. You and I tonight, if we've been saved, we've been declared clean. We've been saved by the blood of Christ. We have been declared clean by the word of God. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. It's a declaration of God. It's not by our habits. Our habits show just the opposite, do they not? You and I in our lifestyles show that we're not clean. You and I in our lifestyles show that we are sinners. We look at the law of God and it's very, very clear to us. We cannot keep it. But when you and I will receive Jesus Christ as our shepherd, He declares us clean. And that is a tremendous, wonderful truth. So there's a clean animal. We also find that sheep are useful. We've already talked about it a little bit. They are useful and they're productive. We find that we get wool from them. We find that we get mutton from them. Now, if you're a sheep and you give wool, what does that mean? You had to give up something. Any of you ever, some of you girls especially, ever grow your hair real long and then cut it off fairly short so that somebody could have those to make a wig out of? Somebody maybe is a cancer patient or something like, what do they call that, locks of love? Any of you have ever done that? I remember Rich doing that. We teased him about his hair for a while. And we find... What happens? You're going to sacrifice some of that, aren't you? When a sheep gives up its wool, it's going to sacrifice its warmth. It's going to sacrifice that which is a cushion to it because, quite frankly, it can be protective. It's a sacrifice. And you and I, when God wants to use us, it means a sacrifice to us. A sacrifice of some of our comfort, of some of the things that we desire in life. But there's something else about a sheep that when he gives up his mutton, it's more than a sacrifice, isn't it? It's total commitment. I believe I told you recently, I talked to him today, missionaries down in Guatemala. And he felt called to the nation of Guatemala. And he said, we began to pray, and he says, I knew we were supposed to go to churches and try to raise support and go down to Guatemala, but he says, God was laying something on my heart. He was a little bit older than many folks were. He was in his 30s or 40s, I'm not sure which. And they already owned their home. They had material possessions. And he said, God began to lay on our hearts that we just sell everything and take that money and get to Guatemala now. And he said, we thought maybe we were kind of being silly about it. And so we went to the pastor and we told him what we thought God was showing us to do. And he said, you know, our pastor was very open. And he said, we sat down and we prayed. And we asked God to just really seal that in our hearts and our minds so we would know that is what God wants us to do. I don't know how God did it. I'm not sure exactly how they prayed. But he said the very next day they knew that's what God wanted to do. They've been in Guatemala for 4 years. And they have gone through all their finances. And he says we have our home church supports us for $300 a month. And he says we have three or four other churches that give us a little bit. And he says we're living right now on $1,200 a month in Guatemala. He says we're not really barely making it. And he believes now it's time to come back and go to some other churches and seek to raise some more support. They'll be with us November the 10th. And I was excited to hear his testimony and how God had worked and what he'd done through them. That, my friend, was not only sacrifice, that was commitment. Saying, here it all is. I'm giving you my life. I'm giving you everything I have. Just, I'm giving it up because I want to do your will. That is what God, I believe, wants out of you and I. God will use us to the extent we allow Him. To the extent that we really love Him, if you please. how we feed and how we water, how we stay clean to be healthy, how close we stay to the shepherd for protection, all of these things, I believe, determine the quality and the quantity of the wool and, yes, the mutton we have. But God wants to use us, just like the shepherd uses what the sheep. There's another truth about sheep. That is, they flock together. They flock together. Yesterday I was out in the country a little ways, and I happened to look up and I saw a horse run across the field all by himself. Just running. I didn't see any other horses. And he just felt like running. It was a nice day out, and he takes off. Sheep don't do that. They will wander off sometimes, but they like being with other sheep. That's an amazing thing, because Christians are that way. We like being with each other. It's just innate within us. There's a desire for that fellowship, desire for that getting together, a longing for that kind of a thing. We like that. How many have ever been to the Iowa State Fair? There's an event that takes place up there every year. And my favorite time to go is Thursday or Friday of the full week. Not the first weekend, but of the weekend where it's ending up. On Thursday, they always have the same schedule. They start having sheepdog trials. Have you ever seen that? It is fantastic to watch, I think. And they'll bring... There's a herd of sheep that's back off of the way. They're inside of a fence. And somebody will cut out six of those sheep, five or six of them, and put them in this big arena. This arena, it's huge. You'd take our gymnasium, this auditorium, and the parking lot in between, and in that arena. And they've got three different stations they got to bring these sheep through. And the shepherd stands clear at one end. He can move around a little bit, but most of them just stand in one place. With hand directions and a whistle, they tell the dog what to do. And that dog begins to bring those sheep. And there's one spot where there's a V kind of a fence and kind of an opening, and he's got to bring them through that opening. At the far end of the arena from where the sheep come in to begin with, there's a pen. That dog has to take them into that pen and keep them crowded up enough the shepherd can close the gate. And then he takes them from there and goes down through another gate. And trying to keep those six. You know what the problem is? Those five or six sheep want back with the rest of them. And if they get a chance, they'll break away from that dog and head to the other end of the arena. I've seen them do it. I've seen some of those old ewes. They get a little stubborn streak in them. And a dog's not supposed to do it, but he'll get so frustrated, he'll grab him by the ears and pull him down. Takes points off for the judges. If I was a dog, I'd probably do the same thing. But anyways, that's their job, to try to take them away and to run them through their paces. But they have that natural inclination to be with the herd. That's picturesque of God's people. And that's why we have local churches. Real sheep want to be with other sheep. Bible says in 1 John 2:19 something very interesting. They went out from us, but they were not all of us. For they've been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. We like being with sheep. Yeah. Problem sheep are prone to wander. But sheep like to be together. Okay? Another truth about sheep is this. They need shepherding. We've said it over and over. And there is the good shepherd. He's the door for the sheep, as we find there. In other words, he's the only means of salvation to these sheep. He knows them. Knows them even by name. He knows his sheep. That might seem strange if you had 100 or 200 sheep, that you would know each one. If you and I walked to the field and saw those sheep there, we would think, how do you tell the difference? The shepherd knows. Again, when I was a little boy, we had 100 head of sheep. Dad gave me one of those sheep. It was mine. And he stayed with all the sheep. But I could go tell you which one it was. I have no idea how I knew that. But I knew that sheep. When I was 3 years of age, we had little feeder hogs. One of those became my pet. And when Mom and Dad weren't looking, I would get into the feeder hog lot and I'd ride my pet pig. Strange little boy. But he knew. Or I knew it. And shepherds know. Eh? And that's his job. He wants to. And the sheep know his voice. That's an interesting thing to me. I believe there's a lot of preachers that are a whole lot better preacher than I am. I remember many years ago, some of you remember Brother Bob Baer. Brother Baer was one of the first evangelists we ever had in our church. And Brother Baer came and preached. My, did he preach. And we had some tremendous services. And tell you the truth, I was jealous of him. Because everybody was really, they just kind of, wow, man, that is great. And I was thinking, yeah, I've been preaching all this time. Nobody even said hi, you know. And so I was feeling sorry for myself. And I got back in the pulpit on Sunday morning, and I preached. And I left the pulpit and met people like I always do. And one of our young ladies came up to me, and she said, Pastor, it's good to hear your voice again. You know, there's something about that. One of the things I wanted to hear when I walked in the house was my mother's voice. If I didn't see her, I'd say, Mom? And then I was okay when I heard her voice. There's something about that. You and I, if we're true children of God, to hear the voice of God, oh, we don't hear it audibly. But we hear it in our soul. We hear it from the Word of God. We hear it as the Spirit of God speaks to us. It is comforting. It is wonderful. And we love that voice of God. We love the fact that He knows us. Amen. He knows His sheep. There's the under-shepherd. He doesn't have the whole flock. He's got a portion of it. We call them local churches. And he needs to follow that leadership of the chief shepherd. And he's there. What for? For their protection. One of the things that the shepherd of a church does is seek to warn the sheep of the wiles of the devil. There are things oftentimes that are taking place in this whole world that sheep don't quite understand. They don't know it's dangerous. How many adults here who have children realize that there are dangers that children are facing, but they don't realize the danger themselves? And no offense to our teens here tonight, but there are things you look at and you say, what's wrong with it? Mom and Dad say, I don't want you doing it. You say, well, what's wrong with it? And they say, well, I can't really put my finger on it, but just don't do it. They know. And sometimes God allows a pastor of a church to have that same insight. And so he's there to help to warn. And he sees some things and gets in the pulpit and tries to guide people in those areas. He seeks to feed them, to lead them to the feed. Now, you can't make a sheep eat, but you can lead them to it. You can lay it out. And the real key to the under-shepherd leading the sheep, this is a key to the pastorate, is for the under-shepherd to be very close to the over-shepherd. It is an absolute must. My spiritual walk is more important than anything I do. That I have that relationship with Him, that I might lead you in those right and proper places. We also find that there are a lot of hirelings. They don't really care about the sheep. A hireling is somebody that does it for the money. The Bible says not for filthy lucre. It doesn't mean the sheep don't take care of the shepherd, but it does mean that's not his intention. It's because he loves them. And I hope you know I love you. I hope it shows. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, thank you so much that you've allowed us to be your sheep. Lord, we know tonight that if it were not for you, the predator, old Satan, would have destroyed us long ago. So we thank you. We thank you for the sustenance you provide for us, both physically and spiritually. Lord, even emotionally. Oh God, we thank you for the watch care that is ours. Lord, when we think of that great 23rd Psalm, we're so happy we can say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Bless and work in hearts as we go our separate ways here tonight. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.